بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، جزى الله عنا نبينا سيدنا ومولانا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Honorable and respected Muallimat, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, by the grace and the fazl and the karam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala gave us opportunity to sit and make some fikr for deen, some fikr in the line of the maktabs, in the line of teaching little children about Islam and to teach them about deen. May Allah ta'ala accept our sacrifices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our fervor, our fikr, our concern, that deen must spread in the world and that the children of the ummah must be educated regarding deen. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be discussing the importance of the practical syllabus in the maktab. The importance of the practical syllabus in the maktab and how the practical syllabus must be introduced in the maktab. Now, when we speak about practicals, then we know that in the fiqh, we teach the children the theory of wuzu, the theory of salah, the theory of adhan, the theory of iqama, the theory of eid salah, tayammum, etc. These theories are taught to the children. So the children will know that there are 4 faraz in wuzu. They will know that there is 6 faraz in salah. They will know that these are the wajibat of salah. They will know that these are the faraiz of tayammum. But together with learning the theory, the importance of teaching them the practical, the importance of teaching them the practical aspect of it, that one is the theory of wuzu, which a child will write in an exam, and he may get 50 out of 50 because he knows the theory very well. But then does he know how to make wuzu himself? If he goes to the wudu khana and he starts making wudu, will he know how to make wudu? Will he make wudu according to the sunnah? Will he make his wudu correctly? Will he wash his elbows, which is part of the faraiz of wuzu? Will he wash the area between his ear and his beard, which is also faraz in wuzu to wash? The area under his eyes, the hairline above his forehead. So all of this here, the practical aspect of it. And this is what we're going to be discussing. And generally in the third term, in the talimi board maktabs, then we have a special exam for practicals and sunnats. And today, inshallah, we're going to be discussing the practical part of it. So therefore, it's necessary for us that together with teaching them the theory, every child must be taken to the wuzu khana, and every child must be taught how to make the wuzu practically. Every child must be made to stand on the musalla and perform 2 rakats of salah in front of the apa, in front of the maulana, so that we know 100% that this child knows how to read salah. Now, when we look at the objectives of the maktab, when we look at the objective, what is the objective of the maktab, then one of the objectives of the maktab is to make the child a namazi, to make the child a namazi, that 5 times a day the child must perform their salah. So this is one of the objectives of the maktab. And we have to see how we can implement it, that every child in our class must know how to make wuzu, must know how to read salah correctly. Now this applies in all the grades, from grade R up till grade 10. Every child must be taught wuzu and salah by the ustad and by the teacher. Although when we look at the syllabus and when we look at the exam and the imtihan, then the imtihan is divided in such a way that in grade 3 the child will learn how to make wudu for the imtihan, and in grade 5 the child will learn how to perform salah for the imtihan. But that doesn't mean that wuzu and salah mustn't be taught in any of the other grades. These 2 aspects, wudu, salah, and istinja, 3 things, istinja, wudu, and salah, must be taught from grade R till grade 10, right through. Every child must be taught this. So we keep on drilling these aspects, drilling them how to make istinja, how to make wudu, how to perform salah. Now, why these things are so important is, a child, every day of his life, he is faced with the challenge of istinja. He has to go toilet, he has to relieve himself,
And he has to wash himself after relieving himself. Now, where is a child going to learn how to make istinja? Many children are attending public schools. Many children at their homes do not make istinja. Many children come from non-Muslim homes. Many children, their parents are non-Muslim. They don't make istinja. How are you going to expect this little child to also make istinja? But just to give you one small little karguzari, what happened in one area. One young Africana boy accepted Islam. Young meaning 21, 22 years old. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with Iman and Islam. And this boy walked to the closest masjid. When he came there and he accepted Islam in a month of Ramadan at the hands of the musallis that were there. So because he became a Muslim, his father kicked him out of the house and told him he was never must come back to his house. So this little young boy stayed in a masjid in Cape Town. And from the masjid, after Eid, after the Eid Salah was performed and after they celebrated Eid, they now sent him to our madrasa here, Madrasa Ta'limuddin, that he must come and learn Islam because he doesn't know how to read Quran, he doesn't know his basics, etc. So this boy came, he spent a year here in the madrasa learning how to read the Quran Sharif, etc. And after some time, he started giving his younger brother targhib to become a Muslim. But this little boy, the younger brother now, he got no interest in Islam at all. But one thing caught his heart and caught his mind is the aspect of washing himself in the toilet. Now his elder brother, just to teach him, he told him, take one small little bottle with you, fill it up with water, and every time you go to the toilet and you relieve yourself, then normally you will only wipe yourself with tissue paper, but now use water and wash yourself also with this. Now this appealed to his heart. That now what my elder brother is telling me is such an amazing thing, I must wash myself in the toilet. So he started taking few bottles of water with him and keeping it in the toilet. His mother became upset. She took those bottles of water and she threw it out of the toilet. She says, you don't bring your Islamic styles here in my house. But just in a few days time, the younger brother also became Muslim. He also accepted Islam just on this one aspect of istinja. Now, when we look at our children today, our Muslim children, by and large, there are many of them who are attending government schools. They're not making istinja in the school. They're going to the toilet, they're using the urinals, they're standing and urinating. Now all of this here has to be taught to them in a maktab. All this has to be taught to them in a maktab. You can't stand and urinate. You have to wash yourself in the toilet. When you're using the toilet, this is how you must use it. This is how you must take water with you. This is how you must wash yourself. And in this way we'll see inshallah that the children will understand the importance of tahara and the importance of istinja. Now the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very clear in this regard. Istanzihu min al bowl. Be careful of this urine drops. فَإِنَّ عَامَةَ عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ مِنْهُ. Most of the time you're going to find that people are getting punished in the grave. Why? On account of urine drops. On account of urine drops, that urine drops is not done correctly and it's falling onto the clothes, it's falling onto the body, and as a result of this here, you will find that the person is getting azab and a person is getting punished in the qabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from azab qabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from azab qabr. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he met the people of Quba, then he praised them and he says to them that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks very highly about you all in the Quran Kareem. What is it that you all are doing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so pleased with you all, Allah ta'ala is so happy with you all? So the reply they gave was that when we go toilet, we make a double fold istinja. We wash ourselves twice. We use cloths of earth also, and we use water also. And as a result of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was very pleased with them, very happy with these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about them, فِيهِ رِجَالُ يُحِبُّونَ أَيَّةَ طَهَّرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِرِينَ. These are men who they love taharat and purity and cleanliness, and Allah loves those who are clean. Now in the maktab, we have to tackle this aspect of istinja. We have to tackle it, we have to ask the children, we have to teach them how to wash. In our madrasa, we must have some facility where there is a toilet. And what's very, very heartsore, is today a lot of children don't know how to use the low-pan toilet. Most children don't know how to use the low-pan toilet. Whereas the low-pan toilet, the squat pan, is the closest to the sunnah. It is closest to the sunnah way of relieving ourselves. Now, when we speak about the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every person desires and wishes that we can practice the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We all desire, we all hope that we can practice on the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When it comes to the toilet, unfortunately, we find even in our maktabs, there is no facility for a low-pan toilet. There is no facility for a low-pan toilet. Children don't even know how to use it. Parents are not even interested in teaching children how to use it. Everyone is happy to use just a high-pan toilet. And we're slowly moving away from the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whereas that low-pan toilet is something must be encouraged. And in the maktab, many a times we have to take a child into the toilet and show him exactly how to use the toilet. Our own children, our own biological children, our ruhani children, those who are teaching in the maktab, we must teach them how to use a low-pan toilet. We must insist that we want to install a low-pan toilet in our homes. And in this way, inshallah, we'll find so much of barakah, so much of khair in practicing on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is with regards to istinja. This must be taught to the children. Secondly, the aspect of wudu. How to teach the wudu. So there's so many hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching the sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum how to make wudu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that I'm sitting in the haram sharif. Jibreel alayhi salam is striking his leg onto the ground. Water is gushing out of the ground. Jibreel alayhi salam is making wuzu. He's teaching me how to make wuzu. So Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam is teaching Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam how to make the wudu, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salam in turn is now teaching the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum how to make wuzu. And the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum, imagine a great sahabi like Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, who is the third khalifa, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, who is the third greatest sahabi in this ummah. On the mimbar of the Jummah, he is sitting on the mimbar and he's demonstrating to the people the method of making wudu. How wudu should be made. Now, what an important thing, what an important aspect in the life of a Muslim, that a Muslim learns how to make wudu. Now, this is something that has to be taught in a maktab. We'll teach it as a theory. The child will write an exam. But we must take the children into the wudu khana, and we must show the child how to make wuzu. So first, the ustad or the apa will demonstrate how the wuzu should be made. So we got the children in the wuzu khana, and they all are watching. Now this is how you will start off your wuzu. First, you will read your dua, bismillah, walhamdulillah. You make your niyat, intention. You read your dua, bismillah, walhamdulillah. Then this is how you'll wash your hands up to the wrist. Now the children will understand if they see. They will understand if they hear through audio visual, through seeing and through hearing. They will look at us, they will see us, they will learn, they will understand. It will be imprinted in their hearts and in their minds. Oh, this is how you wash your hands. Then we will show them this is a miswak. This is how the miswak is supposed to be used. This is how you will brush your teeth with the miswak. This is how you will brush your tongue with the miswak. And this is how you will gargle your mouth 3 times. This is how you will wash your nose. Put water into your nostrils and clean your nose with the left hand 3 times. And then this is how you will wash your face from the hairline to the chin, from one earlobe to the other earlobe. This is how the face will be washed. This is how you will wash your hair, right hand. This is how you will wash your left hand. This is how you'll make khilal of the fingers, masa of the head, how it's supposed to be done. Now, if somebody showed it to us, someone showed it to us, then we will be able to learn it much easier than just reading it out of a kitab. And one is to show the person practically. There's only one way where this ilm will be passed on, this knowledge will be passed on, is sina basina, from one person to the next person, from one heart to the next heart. So I learned to make wuzu from my ustad, and I will teach it to my students, and my students will then teach it to their students, and it will continue like the sina basina, that from one person to the next person. Learning it from a kitab is impossible. A person will never know how to make wuzu if he just reads it from a kitab. But just sit in a wuzu khana with him and make wuzu and let him just observe. And after he's observed it, then make him make the wuzu. Make him make the wuzu 1 time, 2 times, 3 times. That child will learn wuzu from you, which he will practice for the rest of his life. That child will learn how to make wudu from you, which he will practice for the rest of his life. Can we imagine how much of sawab and how much of reward me as an apa, how much of sawab and reward I will get that I taught this child how to make wudu, and that child thereafter made wudu for the rest of his life, and every time he made wudu, whatever ibadat he made, the sawab of all of that is recorded into my account because I was the apa who taught him how to make wudu. So later on, if he becomes a Hafizul Quran, if he becomes an Alim of Deen, if he performs his 5 times daily salah, if he sits down to read the Quran Kareem, whatever ibadat he will make with that wudu of his, the sawab of it will be credited into our account because we taught him how to make the wudu. Now, if this just, we can just understand this importance of this practicals, how important it is in our maktab system, in our maktab syllabus, that this must be taught properly to the children. We need to take out the time. Some madrasas, mashallah, they've introduced madrasa on a Saturday. And on Saturday, because there's a little bit extra time and there is a little bit more relaxed because there's no school, so nicely they will sit down outside on the grass and with a jug and with water, the ustad or the apa will demonstrate to the whole class the manner of making wudu. Don't waste water. Don't open the tap too much. Don't allow the tap to just run. Do it like this. This is how you'll wash your hands. This is how you'll make masa. This is how you'll make khilal of the fingers. This is how you'll make khilal of the toes. For the rest of their lives, inshallah, the manner of wuzu, they will learn it, they will practice it, and the sawab is credited into our account. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Some of the points we must keep in mind is sometimes children don't wash their elbows properly. Sometimes children don't make masa correctly. Sometimes children, when they're washing their feet, they don't wash their ankles or their heels properly. So these common errors and common mistakes that normally take place in the practicals, we must try and iron these mistakes out. We try and iron them out. We try and get it cleared so that what happens is that the child knows properly his mistakes and he corrects himself and he makes wuzu properly, and for the rest of his life, this one aspect of wudu, which is so important in his life, he has learnt it. And then the third aspect is the aspect of salah, how to read salah, how to perform salah. Now in the day, how many rakats a person is reading? Isha alone has got 17 rakats, Maghrib has got 7 rakats, Asar has got 8 rakats, Zohar has got 12 rakats, Fajr has got 4 rakats. Then the Nafil salah that come in between, like Awabin and Chast and Tahajjud, Ishraq, etc. These are the Nafil salah that are read in between. How many rakats of salah a person is reading every day? Just think about the sawab and the reward, that if I taught this child how to read salah, every salah of his that he will perform, every rakat that he will read, I will get the sawab and reward for it. Let me jump to this opportunity and see how I can take full advantage of this and teach the children how to read their salah, how to perform their wudu, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, inshallah, that we can try and teach the children. Now when it comes to the salah, again, we need to first demonstrate it. As a teacher, first demonstrate the entire salah. Now this just one appeal to make to the apas, that those apas who are teaching grade R, grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, etc., then sometimes we will have the males in our class, we'll have boys in our class as well. And we have to teach them the male manner of reading salah. So there's a distinct difference between the male salah and the female salah. Female salah is different, the male salah is different. So we may have to learn from our fathers or brothers or our husbands or our sons the manner of performing the salah like a male. And then we teach the boys separately and teach the girls separately. Nowadays there's a move to say that there's no difference between the salah of a male and a female. Again, this is fitna that's stemming from Salafiyat. Salafiyat, you find people who are free-minded and they don't want to believe in taqleed and following an imam. They come up with their own ideas that there's no difference between a male salah and a female salah. Whereas there is a vast difference between the salah of a male and a female. And there are recorded ahadiths, there's kitabs that have been written on this aspect, the female salah and how it's supposed to be performed, etc. Nevertheless, coming back to the aspect of salah, we need to demonstrate to them each aspect of the salah. For example, takbir-e-tahrima. How the takbir-e-tahrima, how to stand in salah, how many finger space between our feet, how the hands must be kept. Must it be fingers be closed or the fingers be open? Where must the hands be raised up to? How to go into ruku? How to go into sajda? What to read in ruku? What to read in sajda? These are all important aspects, and check it over the children. See them that they are doing it right. Make them all stand in a row. All the children stand in a row. Nice thing to do is the grade R, grade 1 children, grade 2 children, they read their Asar namaz in the madrasa, and they read it in jamaat, and they read everything loudly. So every day you have a different imam, and all the children must stand in a line, and they must read the asar namaz loudly. Obviously, we know that asar namaz is a silent salah, but because this is in mashq now, in teaching these little children, so we get them to read it loudly. All of them stand in a madrasa, and they read, and the apa can just walk around to check and to listen how they are reading. Okay, Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka smuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayru. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah. And listen to them how they are reading, and whether they are reading right, they are reading wrong. In ruku, they are reading Subhanar Rabbi al-Azim, Subhanar Rabbi al-A'la, what they are doing, etc. So these are all important things for us to keep in mind when teaching them. Thereafter, we do each rukun. Qiyam, how it's done. Ruku, how it's done. Sajda, how it's done. Qa'da, how it's done. Salam, how it's done. Then the du'as that's supposed to be read by the children, whether it's in wudu or whether it's in salah. Make sure that they are reading it and they learned it correctly. The attahiyat, the waikunut, etc. They know all of this correctly and properly. And we have this hope, inshallah, that we teach them how to make wuzu, we teach them how to read namaz, and then we encourage them, we ask them, we remind them, we read to them the fazail of salah, hoping that this child will become a namazi one day. This child will become a namazi one day. This child will perform the 5 times daily salah every day. And this child will grow up to become a namazi. And the most important thing in his life will be to perform salah. Allahumma inni as'aluka tamam al-wudu, wa tamam as-salah, wa tamam ridwanik, wa tamam maghfiratik. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make this dua. Wallah, I ask you for a perfect wudu, a perfect salah, your complete radha and pleasure, and complete maghfirat and forgiveness. Allah, completely forgive me, be happy with me, and let my wuzu and my namaz be perfect. I can read my salah properly, correctly. So we try. And then we ourselves, as apas, as teachers, my namaz, how's the condition of my namaz? Am I, number one, reading my salah on time? Or am I delaying my salah till the last minute before the next salah time comes? Am I reading my salah correctly? How many qazas of salah do I have on my head? Have I completed all my qaza namazes? Am I owing anything to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in as far as my salah is concerned? How am I reading my salah? What is the condition of my postures? How am I making ruku? How am I making sajda? How am I reading my namaz? Many a times, the sajda of a woman is done incorrectly. A woman doesn't realize that she's making sajda incorrectly. So we can ask somebody who knows about it, how do I make my sajda? How do I sit in qada? How must I make salam? When I'm standing, how must my hands be? How must my feet be? How must my head be? So all this, we learn it. We learn it, we perfect it, and we enjoy our salah. And Allah give us tawfiq, that we be on a musalla before the azan of that salah goes. Before the azan of that salah goes, toilet, wuzu, and we're on the musalla. The moment the azan goes, we can read our namaz with itminan. We read our namaz with itminan. We're not rushing. We're not rushing last minute. In the last 3 minutes before Maghrib can come in, we're just reading our asar namaz. But rather, we're reading with khushu and khuzu. Khushu and khuzu means peace of mind, peace of heart. So the body is at peace, and the mind and the heart is also at peace. In other words, person is not shuffling around in salah, scratching here, scratching there, fidgeting with the burqa, fidgeting with this, fidgeting with that. The body is at peace, and at the same time, the mind is at peace. The heart is not rushed, running around from here to there, the shopping center, buy that kitchen, this recipe, Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Sharif, going here for Umrah, I'm stopping in the airport. Mind is not running around in here. Mind is focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I'm worshipping Allah and I'm fulfilling the reason for my creation. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created us for his worship. Now we can imagine, inshallah, if we try in our maktabs to get this wuzu, to get this salah right, to get this wuzu and the salah right, where the children, mashallah, they all are performing the wuzu and the salah correctly, how much of sawab and how much of reward Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give us, that in all of this, in this exercise of the practicals, where the children are now getting ready for the examination, but at the same time, they are perfecting their wuzu and their namaz, their azan, etc. All of this is coming right. Now the rest of their lives, they will read salah, and all that sawab and reward will be credited into our accounts. At the same time, who knows, maybe we can earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are making an all-out effort to ensure that people read the salah. We're encouraging the child, and the child in turn is encouraging his parents, and we got a whole house to start performing the 5 times daily salah. What a great action. How happy Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be with us. How pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with us. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq inshallah to make amal and to do this correctly and properly in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.